Hello, this is Reverend Irvin speaking and greeting you as warmly as I can via this tape, and we hope that you will receive it as a warm personal greeting. Again, we're very happy that we can come to your home and share with you a large part of our worship service for July the 30th, 1978. We're grateful that you permit us to do so, and we know that the blessing which we receive is probably superior to that blessing which you receive. So thank you for letting us come. This is one of the Fast for Sunday, Fast for Hunger Sundays of our church, a program which we devised some 18 months ago. Its intent is to give us, those who will at least, an experience, a spiritual experience, in the art or the practice of fasting. And its intention is also that through our sharing, at least some hungry person may be temporarily fed. We recognize that the magnitude of the hunger problem is of such that we can only make a very brief or very small dent in it. But nevertheless, when Christians around the world unite to share their resources that hungry people might be fed, a tremendous impact can be made. So we appreciate the opportunity to witness and to serve in this fashion. We pray too that as you live this week, week which God gives you, that He will be very generous in His blessing upon you, and that He will fulfill all of your needs. Almighty God, you have called the worlds into being. You who placed the stars in their paths, who ordered the ways of nature in such a manner as to confound the minds of men, yet who has created the spirit of man in your own image, we laud and praise your name. We recognize you to be the supreme Lord of all being, yet the lover of each human being. We who are your children through faith in Christ now draw near to you in prayer, trusting that you will draw near to us. Make us thankful people, O God. When we consider your gifts and grace, we can only bow in humility and gratitude before you. Even though we find it somewhat contrary to our mood and our disposition, we are thankful when we consider how you have come to us in times of trial and difficulty and given us your peace and direction. We are thankful for the relationships which we have with one another in families, in friendships, in business associations, and in casual associations. For we're coming to know that the life you have given us cannot be lived in isolation. We're thankful, too, when we think about those abilities and energies that you have given us so that we might create blessings for ourselves and that we might mold our surroundings for our comfort and ease. We're grateful for the spirit of sacrifice you taught us in Christ, because many have shared and sacrificed for us. And we're grateful for your love so gloriously shown in Jesus Christ, how he lived, how he died, how he was raised, and how his spirit still sustains us and brings us joy and challenge. Now, Lord God, make us sensitive to your will and way. More than that, help us to accept your will for our lives, placing our own desires in the background. Strengthen every resolve which is made today in commitment to you. And when we depart from this place, may we be refreshed, challenged, and recommitted to him who loved us so much that he died for us. Now, our Father, hear our concerns as we lay them before you. There are those who are ill, who would greatly rejoice if your healing touch were placed upon them. There are those who are discouraged who would take heart if your strength were given to them. There are those in places of important leadership who could greatly bless mankind if you would guide them. There are your people who are banded together in churches who could truly be your people if you would open their lives and hearts. For all peoples, their conditions, their possibilities, we pray. Hear us now as we lift our personal concerns to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us focus our attention on the third verse, particularly of these words which were read, where it says, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can I tell that I've been born again? That is a question which is from time to time asked of me and asked of others. Being born again, at least some versions of it, some understandings of it, has made Christianity into a very popular business these days. The electric church is really big business. We live in a day when corrupt politicians, criminals, other kinds of people, seemingly in large numbers, are joining the ranks of the born again. And we rejoice in that. But you can think of such names as Charles Colson and Larry Flint and others. And the evangelists all talk about being born again. And almost daily the newspapers carry articles concerning someone who professes to be a born-again Christian. How many people, I wonder what it means to be born again? Now, at the risk of sounding out of it, I must confess, I don't know what people are talking about in the popular sense of being born again. But I do, I believe, have some understanding about what Jesus meant by the term born again. This story from the third chapter of John is where the born again talk finds its impetus. And if we were to modernize it a little, it could happen something like this. A mature church officer who had held position in the church for years walked up to his relatively new preacher, a young man of about 30, who had done some fairly decent preaching. And so the church official says, young man, I believe in giving people their due while they're yet living. Now, I've listened to you, and you seem to have the goods, because other people are listening to you, and lots of good things are happening. But then this young man, without acknowledging the compliment, changes the subject and says, quite abruptly, that's not the point. The point is, have you been born anew? And that's exactly what happened to Nicodemus, and soon Nicodemus found himself listening to the greatest teacher of all time as he spoke on a subject which is made very fascinating by great mystery. And I'd like to have you join Jesus and Nicodemus as they have their conversation. Listen in. And the first thing that you hear is Jesus saying that the born again thing is a necessity in the life of a Christian. The artist Whistler, one time, was asked by a friend who had purchased a good painting to help him hang the painting in one of the rooms of his house. And he said that for several days he had hung it in various places in the room and no place seemed to fit. And so Whistler gave it a try. and finally concluded and said, you can't make this painting fit into this room. You're going to have to make the room fit the picture, the painting. Now, friends, that is suggestive of at least of the trouble we have in living the Christian life. Here is the room of your life. Conceive of it as a room. And in the scriptures and elsewhere is a picture of the Christian life, the Christian way. Now try hanging the Christian way into the room of your present life and see where you get. With your present attitudes and in your present room, try, for example, to turn the other cheek. Try forgiving 70 times 7. Try going the second mile. Try loving your enemies. Now, you'll find that that is like trying to wear a shoe that hurts your foot. The way out is not to cramp your toes into a space that is far too small for them. The only remedy is to get new shoes. And the only way for a person to wear the Christian way with ease and pleasure is not to jam all the teachings of Jesus into a life that doesn't fit. The way to do that is to get a new life, a new room, as it were. Now you think about it, and most of the quarrels that you have with Jesus, most of the things that make his way so hard for us, is the fact that we're trying to do what he says without having first caught his spirit. What we're doing is try to make a beautiful and wondrous painting fit a room in which it simply won't fit. How many of you have ever tried, for example, living the Christian way, even the very simple and basic parts of the Christian way, things like the disciplines of Bible reading and prayer, church attendance and regular worship and so forth, only after a time to throw it off as a yoke which galls, until one day you caught the spirit of it all. And now you're having a good time living the Christian way. That, in part, at least, is what it means to be born again. And it does not really come very naturally to a person to alter the room of his life's experiences in order to accommodate the Christian way. And yet Jesus says that it's a necessity. You must be born again. Now go a step further and listen in to the conversation a little more. Jesus says that being born anew is a necessity. He also says that it's a possibility for each of us. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now it is possible, many people have, for a person to note the passing of his old room or the redecorating of his room. It's possible for a person to note the passing of his old self and his birth after the Spirit. Now I don't know how this happens, and I don't believe anybody that tells me how it happens either. But then I can't explain how God creates to begin with, let alone understand the miracle of recreation. The mystery of birth is no less a mystery than the mystery of rebirth. Yet we have abundant testimony that the Spirit does step into dark lives and change them. We only need to mention Paul and Augustine and Wesley and our people in your experience too. Now, though I do not understand, I can tell you how I picture this in my own mind. I read these verses without number many, many times over the years, and I must confess I was as perplexed as Nicodemus by the words, unless he is born again. Then one day, I read the words in another version, the Revised Standard Version, actually, where it said, unless he is born anew. For me, quite a difference was made in my understanding by a small difference in words. And then I noticed also a marginal reading, and in the margin, I was told that instead of the verse reading, unless he is born again, it could be better read, unless he is born from above. Now I realize that the human personality and the human being is a unit. And by suggesting what I'm going to for purpose of illustration, I don't mean to separate man, the personality, into the two kingdoms that I'm going to suggest. But we do share at least two natures, two kingdoms, the animal and the spirit. We share the nature of the animals in our bodies and in our flesh. We share the nature of God in our spirit, for we are told that he breathed his spirit into our being. Having then this double nature, we can do two things. We can either draw our impulses, which control our living, from the animal side, or we can draw those impulses from the spirit. To be born from above means that we start drawing our impulses, which control our lives, from our spirit nature. That's what Jesus means when he says, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now you can tell those who are born of the spirit, not by their words. You can tell those who are born of the spirit because they are more like God than a clumsy growing grizzly bear, intent on satisfying his own physical appetites. You can tell them because they have found thrills in something besides eating and drinking and being merry and wasting. You can tell because they have within their thinking, within their lives, values which sees beyond tomorrow and next week to the conservation of this world and all that's in it for generations yet to come. They find their lives worth living not by bending the elbow, but by bending the knees. Those who have caught the Spirit, are born of the Spirit, are of course still human beings. And they still live in the flesh, but they do not live for the flesh. Spirit, the spiritual nature of man, is in control. Born from above, born into our spiritual nature, that's what it means to be born again, anew. And then, finally, for our purposes this morning, we discover the truth of this experience, not by explaining the mystery, as many vainly try to do, but by seeing the results of it. We do not look to the roots, but to the fruits. And I suggest that if you try to explain being born again, as many do try to explain, you're in trouble. Jesus said, do not be surprised because I tell you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes, and you can hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from You do not know where it is going. In the same way, with everyone, it is the same way with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now that's really simple. That's really very simple. Who can see the wind? You can hear it. You can see what it does. It moves tree branches. Sometimes in its most violent form, it does far more than that. In some areas, it blows propellers so that power might be produced. You can see what the wind does, but you can't see it. That's what Jesus says about the Spirit. You can see what it does, but you can't see it, nor can you explain it, because you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. This suggests that you can't write a handbook on the Holy Spirit and say that it will happen in this way or in that way. The work of the Spirit cannot be mapped. It can even less be controlled. It cannot be charted. You know that the Spirit of God has visited a person when you see the footprints of God in that person's life. Now, I personally desire and try to shy away from those who talk overly about being born again. And generally, we regard them as fanatics. But let it be noted that a religious fanatic is not someone with too much religion. A religious fanatic is someone who has too little religion and is unsure and has to constantly jack up his faith in order to make himself sure that that's where he is. You need not be afraid of getting too much of the Spirit of God, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, if you want to know whether you've been born again from above, use that checklist. There is no other way to tell according to our Lord Jesus Christ. Forget all the hysterical type of witnessing, the crude attempts to convert you, the vain attempts to convince you. If you want to know if the Spirit of God is in your life and if you've been born from above, turn to the 5th chapter of Galatians, the 22nd verse. And there you'll find the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and those that we've just mentioned. One time a friend told me that he once found himself in a city, apparently between planes. At least he had some time that he had to dispose of. And he thought of going to a movie, but he'd already seen Star Wars 15 times, so he remembered that there lived in that city an old man who had been a friend of my friend's late father. And he thought that it might be a good time of reminiscing and nostalgia, and maybe even relive some of his past life if he could go talk to this friend, this close friend of his father. So after telephoning the old gentleman, he went out to where he lived. The old man opened the door when he rang the doorbell and swung it wide open. And he stepped back, the old man did, didn't even shake the younger man's hand, didn't even offer a word of greeting. And he stepped back and looked my friend up and down many, many times, scanning him, peering at him, looking at him. And finally the old man shook his hand and said, "I was just looking to see if there was anything of your father in you." I thought about that. Just wanted to see if there was anything of your father in you. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He that is born from above will have something of the life that comes from above in him. And so in a way, we step back to the point at which we started. How can I know that I've been born again? It's really quite simple. Sit down. Sit down when you have a few moments to yourself and see yourself in the mirror of memory and find out if there's anything of your Heavenly Father in you. If there is, you have been born from above. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, permit this ancient word that comes to us from John to speak to us, to mold our lives, and to receive from you additional amounts of your Spirit. May we have the strength, and may we make the commitment necessary to alter our lives, alter them enough that your way may have find a happy residence within our experience. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Now that we've been forgiven of our sin, we have heard God's word, and we've been strengthened by his Spirit, may we go forth to serve him, and may his power, his peace, and his presence be with us. Amen.